As a hegemon on borrowed time, Uncle Sam must compete to secure his interests. But there is a big problem. His military is just not up to the task.
The American military is one of the biggest militaries in the world, and it is also the most destructive force in the world. America's military has no moral, political, or historical right to even exist, as America itself is an illegal settler colony. This makes the U.S. military's existence a crime against humanity, and all the wars it's waged from Vietnam to Iraq to Libya to Afghanistan have all been crimes against the human race. But how did the American military get to how it is, and how is the military still maintained? To start, the American military, it was founded on June 14, 1775. The slaveholding George Washington, he was the first commander of the Continental Army. The first war was the so-called American Revolution, which was America's attempt to break free from the British Empire and have a complete monopoly over American capitalism and thus slavery. From that day on, the military was founded to protect the interests of the settler colony of America and thus expand the so-called American Empire. In April of 1846, the U.S. military fought the Mexican-American War, in which the USA was seeking to steal Texas out of the hands of the control of Mexico. And this is what the American military is about. It's about land theft. The U.S. military has also been used historically to steal land from indigenous people and to enact genocide against indigenous peoples. This shows us how the foundation of the U.S. military is about protecting the capitalist interests of the settler colony, as well as advancing them through theft of land, and thus the resources that the land holds. And if we know anything about history, the formation of the military was about the exploitation and enslavement and genocide of African people. And to this very day, the U.S. military is deeply connected to the prison industrial complex. And the prison industrial complex is just the evolution of chattel slavery, which America was founded on. America built its entire economy off of slavery, which then allowed for major investments into America's so-called armed forces. The same type of relationship still exists today, as prison labor, aka slave labor, is used to outfit and arm the U.S. military. It's been reported that those incarcerated are forced to make jackets, uniforms, helmets, shoes, and even flak vests for the U.S. military, as well as body armor. Not only that, but inmates are also building parts for Patriot missile systems, as well as other weapons of mass destruction. And the people making these parts are making as little as 23 cents per hour. This again shows how the exploitation of black people in America, the enslavement of black people in America, then fuels the expansion of the U.S. military. And how sick is this, that literally the enslavement of black people here in America is at the foundation of the U.S. empire's expansion, which then leads the empire to bomb black and brown people all across the world. And ultimately, if we believe in humanity, We must stop American imperialism and its crimes against humanity. We all have the right to be free from American imperialism. This is Power to the People.
Quran Quest, a program on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is IRIB English Radio broadcasting from Iran, and we are Quran Quest, the program that studies the verses of Quran one by one to learn from it. And it's a double auspiciousness on this episode because it's both Ramadan. I hope all of your prayers and your worship has been accepted by God subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's also around the birthday anniversary of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, our second Imam. I'd like to congratulate all of you for this wonderful day. And I'd like to say salam and congratulations to our great guest, Brother Habib. Salam alaikum, Brother Habib. Thank you very much for your time.
Wa alaikum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your deeds, your fasting, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala congratulate or, you know, send his blessings upon the entire Islamic Ummah on the birthday inshallah of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam.
Inshallah. It's wonderful to be having an episode on this day. So with Brother Habib, we go through the chapters of the Quran one by one, and today we arrive on chapter 72, verse 10. Let's listen a few verses from this chapter, and then we'll be back for the discussion.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
وأنا لا ندري أشر أريد بمن في الأرض أم أراد بهم ربهم رشدا.
And we do not know, therefore, whether evil is intended for those on earth, or whether their Lord intends for them a right course.
وأنا منا الصالحون ومنا.
And among us are the righteous, and among us are others not so. We were of divided ways.
So you listened to chapter 72, verses 10 onwards on IRIB English Radio. This is Quran Quest. Brother Habib, let's just give a small context about what we've been talking till now. The chapter talks about jinns who heard the Prophet reciting the Quran, and because they had heard divine message before, they immediately understood that this must be coming from God subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they realized that they had been misguided until now, and that the people are also misguided in thinking that the jinn have some kind of special power. They can give them extra information. They lost their access to that special information. And even when they do give information, it tends to be mixed with lies and false information. And God is narrating this story to the Prophet. On verse 10, it reads, "We do not know whether ill is intended for those who are on earth, or whether their Lord intends good for them." So the jinn, they're not material. They
are material.
No, I mean, they're not like us.
Yeah.
Like from,
we're from teen, from
soil.
Soil.
Right? Mud, actually,
yeah,
to
mud.
Be more precise. So they do have that freedom to travel between realms a little bit more. And that made people think that these guys can give them some extra information.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We talked about in the beginning of the verse, the creation of the jinn is different from the creation of human beings. Human beings have been created from, like how we stated, mud or soil. The jinn have been created from fire. There is also like the sayings that state that the angels have been created from wind or from light. There are creations created from something else and other things and other materials that we might not know. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we are not the only creations. This is something to keep in mind when we worship Allah, when we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to keep in mind that at the end of the day, we are not the gods. Mm-hmm. The world, the universe is not realming around us, mm-hmm. right? So when you look at the jinn, like how you stated, they had this more, you know, let's say capability, powers, or capacity to be able to go and hear the angels and go and hear or steal the knowledge, right? The information. And until it had been guarded very strongly by angels, mm-hmm. and whoever comes by gets hit by shooting stars or gets hit by something, you know, at the end mm-hmm. of the day, defense, mm-hmm. defense for knowledge. Mm-hmm. And this really just opened their brains about, if they had brains, they opened their brains about the concept of there is something big that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So here it's like, it's reminding, the jinn are coming around with people. You remember that we were able to reach knowledge, and then came a time when we were not able to reach knowledge? Mm-hmm. It's because there's a new prophet. There's the final mm-hmm. prophet that has arrived. Mm-hmm. And this is really just showing the high status of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi. That the creation, laws of physics, laws of, I don't know, like laws that were available, that whether being unknown to us or known, have changed. The heavens have changed for mm-hmm. the arrival of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, for his message, and that really shows the importance to it, mm-hmm. and that the jinn have no knowledge. And there's mm-hmm. a couple of times in the Holy Quran, one of them being this, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala denies that the jinn have ilm al-ghayb because of that false belief that, as you stated, mm-hmm. that the people
had,
the Arabs had
that knowledge from the unseen.
One of them was the story of Suleiman, mm-hmm. that they did not know that he passed away until there was a critter that ate on the stick of Suleiman and fell down. And then they understood that he was dead. And they were slaves at the time for that prophet.
All right, thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back to further the discussion. Don't go away.
إن سألتم عن الله فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We're on chapter 72. We're moving on to verse 11. So you said that the jinn lost their access to the information of unseen, knowledge of the unseen. But doesn't it mean that they still have knowledge of the seen? Like, can we access them for information about our neighbor, for instance? That actually does relate to verse 11. But let's just get the answer on that.
There is, to some extent, yes, like experience-wise, we've heard about them. In our lifetime, like literally, mm-hmm. we've heard about these insects. There have been stories that have been taken down by Arabs, as mm-hmm. I know of. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, there could be, like, for example, a contract mm-hmm. between the jinn and human beings or whatnot. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I haven't tried it. I'm not planning on trying it. Mm-hmm. But if you do try it, please tell us, inform us.
And so, but the challenge would be what verse 11 is saying. Some among us are righteous and some among us are otherwise. We are on paths divided. In other words, even if someone does gain access to such a creature, you never know who you're getting. You could be getting someone who's going to be tricking you.
We've talked about this in Surah An-Nas, min al-jinnati wa an-nas, from the humans, from mankind, and from jinns, mm-hmm. where you say that you ensure yourself in the trust of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the devils. Mm-hmm. Devils don't always have to be from the jinn. Devils could be human beings as well. Why? Because at the end of the day, like how human beings, there are people who are good, wrongdoers, there are people who are on the straight path. Same thing with the jinn, as in this verse very clearly states, that among the jinn are the righteous, and among the others who are not. They are divided in their ways as well. Mm-hmm. So they also have taklif. They also have their, duties. You know, like obligations and mm-hmm. prohibited actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for them. He created them for a reason. Mm-hmm. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ. The thing is that he puts the jinn in the beginning. That's something to pay attention to. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ.
And it's strange because the jinn have access to more information than we humans, and yet they disbelieve.
It depends. At the end of the day, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. When we reach that verse, we'll talk about the sons of Adam and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved them so much. And that a sign of the love to human beings is that he sent the nur, the light of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the form of Bani Adam. He did not send them in the form of jinn, for example. Mm-hmm. And there is this detailed topic about prophets and why they were sent as humans and they were not sent as angels. When we reach those verses, we will talk more about this concept as well. Why mm-hmm. was the prophet, from mm-hmm. all the prophets, from the rest of the prophets, sent to the jinn as well?
Mm-hmm.
And that goes back to the high status of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So
previous prophets were not sent for humans? Was it just Prophet Muhammad?
It needs more research. But mm-hmm. from my knowledge to now, till mm-hmm. now, till mm-hmm. this day, this mm-hmm. holy month of Ramadan, this birthday of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, I have not seen another prophet that was sent as a prophet, to Nadir wa Bashir for them.
Mm-hmm.
Other than Sulaiman, who was not, like, you cannot call him, he was a prophet. They were under his
master.
Order. He was the mm-hmm. master. Mm-hmm. He was their master.
And just before we go to the break, what about the A'imma? Were they sent for the jinn as
yes.
well?
That's also one of the mm-hmm. high status, because they are the successors of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi. Sharafuhum bi sharaf al-Nabi.
Mm-hmm.
Their high status is from the high status of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi. We will have various sayings that come that the jinn wanted to aid Imam Hussein alayhi salam, available in Kamil al-Ziyarat. Authentic, not only in Shia books as well, Sunni books as well.
All right, thank you very much. We're going to have to take a break, I'm afraid, but we'll be right back for the rest of the discussion. Don't go away.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. We are Quran Quest, and we're moving on to verse 12 of chapter 72 of the Quran. Verse 12 reads, "We know that we cannot thwart Allah on the earth, nor can we thwart Him by fleeing." This is an interesting verse. I think this is an important message to humans.
To human beings, to every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's showing the superiority of Allah Almighty. It's saying that they are certain, the jinn have become certain. These jinn who believed in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and that we should follow their path in this. That they have become certain that they cannot cause failure to Allah upon earth, nor can they escape Him. Can you escape Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Whenever anyone comes and asks me, why is prayer wajib? Why do we have to obey Allah? Why do we have to worship Allah? Simple answer. Can you breathe air other than the air of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can you push away death? Can you survive without water? All these are things given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have no power,
mm-hmm.
no strength, mm-hmm. no will. Unless it has been given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah al-aliyyil azim. Period. That's it. You have to understand what you're worth. Understand your worth. I don't know, there's this statement that you have to see yourself that you are something in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mystics have this different type. And you can understand it from these kinds of verses and the ad'iyya, the sayings of the Imam alayhim as-salam. You're worthless in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your worth is nothing. You are zero in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All you have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's position. You are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's property. And this really comes back to, it really aids us also in understanding most, if not all, the tashari'ah, the laws given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, if you had this human being who came to two houses, one of the houses was his, the other house was his brother's. So he came, he changed the door, he broke the window, changed the window, he kind of put a hole in the wall, he punctured the hole.
Redecorated it.
He then goes to his brother's house, also redecorates it.
There.
When you come and see, people will rebuke him for redecorating his house. Why are you doing this to your brother's house? What's the difference? And why did they not criticize him for decorating his own house, changing his own house, breaking the glass in his own house? Because he owns the first house, and then the second house, he doesn't own it.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as it's his property, human intellect states that it's his. He does whatever he wants. He's the one that gives it its rights and non-rights. Mm-hmm. He's the one that puts it down. He's the one that knows it better. We believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all wise, all knowing, all merciful at the end of the day. Just. So when he puts rights, for example, women should wear hijab, for example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put that right. It's my right to do this. No, it's not. It's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts forward. You're Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's property at the end of the day, whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. If you do not like it, like how I've seen some atheists state, breathe other air. Even if you make your own air, you're making it from the molecules or from the atoms that have been available. Uh-huh. So find something you can do by yourself at the end of the day.
All right, thank you very much. It's an interesting discussion, a lot to say, but I'm afraid that we're out of time. Just to summarize what we talked about today, the jinn do not have access to the unseen. And those who do have access to some of the information that is seen, for instance, information about your neighbor and what they're cooking for lunch today, you never know which kind of jinn you're going to get access to, so we can never verify the correctness of the information.
But if you do get a jinn, let us know.
Yeah.
Email us
and tell us how it worked out. And also, we talked about the fact that nobody can dodge God's rule and God's...
Authority,
thank you very much. God's authority over the world. And in the end of the day, this is his realm and we are his subjects. Thank you very much, Brother Habib. It's always wonderful talking to you. And to all our listeners out there, don't forget to pray for us. It's both Ramadan and it's the birthday of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba. I hope that all your prayers and worship are accepted. Don't forget that you can download an archive of this episode and all our previous ones from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio Quran Quest. Until next episode, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Quran Quest, the program that answers your Quranic questions.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint. A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and my guest speakers, as always, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser. Sayyid Abdullah, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And Brother Yasser.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. It's a pleasure to be with you, Brother Muhammad Jawad.
Thank you very much. Today, we are going to actually follow up our critique of the last few episodes that we've been trying to criticize the movie The Ten Commandments, but now we have the same story, but reflected through another movie or rather miniseries.
which was basically made and directed by a church organization, starring Ben Kingsley, the most famous actor in this movie is that. And then we have lots of other ones like Christopher Lee, Geraldine McEwan, Anna Galliano, David Suchet, Enrico Loverso, Filippo Roy, to just name a few. Well, this miniseries, in fact, is produced in 1995, and it comes in two, basically, volumes. All right. So let's focus on the first one. Let's hear a trailer about Moses' life, and then we'll be back criticizing it. Don't go away.
Hebrew filth!
4 centuries of slavery.
Do I know you?
From the prince of Egypt to the hero of the Hebrew people. Moses, the chosen leader.
Moses.
Back to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio with me, Mohammed Jawad, the host of this program, and our guest speaker, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser. Let me start with you, Sayyid Abdullah. How did you like these mini-series, especially in comparison with the Ten Commandments?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The one I watched was actually put together. So now they have it like in a one movie form, mm-hmm, where they, mm-hmm, before they divided it, because it's a 3 hour long movie, like once put together. So I think it was like a one movie, but then they decided to break it into halves to make it easier for people to watch, like an hour and a half to watch. The same thing with Ten Commandments was like a 3 hour long, which is quite long.
Mind you, the Quran also, when talking about Moses and his life story, you know, basically we don't see like any prophets like being talked about or mentioned in the Quran, just like the Moses.
Yeah,
like Quran keeps talking about him.
Yeah, because right? Musa alayhi salam, mind you, the story of Musa is very relevant to us. Like, whatever happened to Musa happened to us as Muslims, and it's still happening, uh-huh, right? So it's very relevant. I mean, there are, you know...
Isn't it related to his long life?
To Moses' long life?
Yeah, for example.
No. It's got nothing to do with Moses himself rather than what happened with Musa and the events that happened with Musa, the people of Musa. These are the ones that the Quran... When the Quran mentions the story, is always is like, I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to teach you a lesson, something that you need to learn.
Right.
And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made it very clear in the hadith that all Muslims agree upon. He said, you will follow the footsteps of the Jews and the Christians before you. And even if they went into a hole, you would go into a hole too. So Allah says, learn from that. And from Islamic, even from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until now, whatever happened to Musa happened to us, mm-hmm, even to Islam. For example, even Musa, Harun, Imam Ali, the Prophet, the wife of Harun, how she went against the Harun himself, how the wife of the Prophet went against the Prophet, and it continues. And even until our day now, where you have the Fir'aun and Musa, the Tawgut and the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the same concept, even to the extent that, Fir'aun says, how dare you worship Allah without having my permission? Mm-hmm. You know, do you worship him without me giving you the green light? Same thing now, like the media, for example, the Western powers, like, how dare you be a free thinker without us thinking for you? So it's very relevant if you look at the underlining of the verses of the Quran. Mm-hmm. So Allah mentioned him heavily because of the reference to us as Muslim to that story and how we can learn from it.
Let me call it an online movie, course, as you say.
Yeah, it is. But it's as a movie,
like a live course ever.
It is. It is a very living kind of course. But as a movie itself, I didn't like it that much because it was really, like, wasn't up to speed with motions and with the, you know, cinematographical scenery or whatever. Actually, the Ten Commandments, even though it was very old, like 1959,
yeah,
but in terms of graphics, in terms of, like, was stunning. like even so old, but it was like 1,000 times better than Moses the miniseries. Yeah. Like a 95, but yet graphics wise, yet not acting wise,
as up to date as even the 1956 version.
Yeah, like it was really bad. So I'm assuming it was just a low budget.
Uh-huh.
But in terms of details, I think they've added more details than any other Moses movie that were the previous or new. They've added more details to the story.
But part of it is, isn't it because maybe, you know, they don't care about the budget, because it's all about the Bible and everything that is somehow related to the Bible or any holy scripture basically is bought.
Yeah, I mean, look, even if they want to make it, you know, a biblical story, but sometimes, like, you have a lot of biblical stories that are, like, A-grade Hollywood movies. Mm-hmm. They're, like, millions of dollars went into it. I don't think this one had even more than 2-3 million budget. It's very small, very short. Even, like, in 95, the first one, the Ten Commandments, like, they have more people, like, more cast people to play the role of the Jews. Where in this one, they had, like, a very countable few.
Yeah.
To that extent. So it was, you know, it was okay, but not that okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Let's take a listen to a part of the movie Moses, the first miniseries produced in 1995, and then we'll be back to movie.
Tina, come and get your adopted son. Teach him to stay on his feet. Merletta.
Back to the program. Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. We are still criticizing the movie, or rather, miniseries Moses, the first one, with Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser. Brother Yasser, you know, the infant Moses falls down in the court of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh calls Hiram, Pharaoh's daughter, here to get her adopted son. In the Ten Commandments, though, it was Bithya, right? The Pharaoh's sister. But here, it's Hiram. Why the discrepancy?
Again, it may be so that in the Old Testament, there is not clear who it may be.
Right.
Again, I do not know exactly what the Old Testament says, but it may be that it just mentions somebody came and... And as I mentioned also when we discussed previously, and Sayyid also mentioned it, that one of the reasons why Asiya alayhi salam took Moses into the palace was because she may and most probably was childless. That's why she found an affinity to this baby in order to take him in and to care for
according
him.
According to the Islamic.
According to Islamic, one of the things that we have.
Yeah.
Not so. And then obviously we said that Musa had a biological sister who... At that, within the palace, she was overlooking things, looking after him, looking out for him.
Yes.
It may be possible that that particular lady who found her way into the court of the Pharaoh, or I don't know what they call Ramesses, may actually have been his biological sister.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible. Again, this requires a lot of research, a lot of things, because we know from the Quran that that particular lady who told whoever that particular person was, that because Musa was not feeding, I know this lady will be able to feed him. So she must have been inside the court. The sister must have been inside the court in order for her to make that particular advice.
Yeah.
Again, so a historical here, maybe you think, okay, where are they getting secondary references from?
Mm-hmm.
The first movie, where did they get it from? In this movie, where did they get it from? Because there must be a particular...
Right.
Book or a particular historical anecdote that is telling us that this person, or the name is not there, all it is it's just a lady.
Mm-hmm.
And they are assuming that maybe Pharaoh had a sister, or maybe Pharaoh had a daughter, and so on and so forth.
Right. Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a listen to another part of the movie, or rather miniseries. The first one, Moses, produced in 1995, and then we'll be back.
You're not Hebrew, Moses. You sucked at the breast of a Hebrew. Nothing else. You are an Egyptian prince, Moses. Be proud.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. We are criticizing the miniseries Moses, especially the first volume, produced in 1995 with Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser. Sayyid Abdullah, you know, we see so many discrepancies between the two
versions of Moses' life. For example, in the previous one, the Ten Commandments, Pharaoh is apparently more interested in Moses than Ramesses, right? According to the movie, there was Ramesses and there was Seti and then Moses. So the Pharaoh was more interested in Moses, basically. But in the second movie, which we are, criticizing right now, it's quite vice versa. Again, we see another discrepancy. Moses in the second movie knows that he is Hebrew. He knows from the beginning, right? At least he considers himself Hebrew, but in the Ten Commandments, the previous movie produced in 1956, he didn't know it until he was 30 years old. What does the Quran say about this? However, this is very interesting that in Moses, for example, this miniseries, there is a reference to the breastfeeding of Moses' mother, right? There is a reference to this. Yeah. But in the previous one, there wasn't. Just like what the Muslims say. So what does the Quran say about all this?
So the Quran is very straightforward. I mean, like Brother Ibrahim said, the idea is that the Old Testament and the New Testament, they're colliding with each other.
Mm-hmm.
The Moses miniseries was a biblical one. The ones before it was the First Testament. Obviously, they would have added something from the Talmud and the Jewish teachings, the Jewish history, where the second one was very biblical. It was like it had information they did not have. So there was that collision in terms of who's who and what's what.
Yes.
So they had this collision between the Jewish version of Musa and the Christian version of Musa. And then you have the Muslim version of Musa, alayhi salam. The version we have of Musa are very straightforward. Mm-hmm. Asya finds the baby. She takes him to Fir'aun. Fir'aun, first instance, is to kill the baby. She said, "La taqtulu asa yanfa'ana. Maybe we can use him. Maybe he can be a good use to us." Yes. She convinces Fir'aun. She have a hot spot in his heart. Fir'aun accepts. End of story. And then Fir'aun, he does his job of trying to care and take care of Musa. So he kind of, I wouldn't say he had a soft spot for Musa, but he was playing the role of a father for Musa until Musa grew old. And they maintained this kind of, relationship between him and Musa. And he had a bit of respect for Musa as well. So where the first one, like in 1995, they showed him in love, I think this more moves towards the Islamic version of things. Mm-hmm. The other one, like he hated him, which is not, very Islamic because, because there was only one Fir'aun. So there's no need for him to favor his son over Musa.
Thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah. Thank you very much, Brother Yasser. That was the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program, in which we try to criticize the first volume of the miniseries Moses produced in 1995. And hopefully we'll continue its criticism and its upcoming volume in the upcoming or next episode. Thank you very much for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Hebrew filth!
4 centuries of slavery.
Do I know you?
From the Prince of Egypt to the hero of the Hebrew people. Moses, the chosen leader.
Moses.
God orders the end of the exploitation. The Pharaoh does not obey.
Does your God have another message for me?
Aaron, throw your staff on the ground.
The empire is destroyed, and liberation comes. The miracle of the Red Sea crossing and the laws of God's people.
God's Month. In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Salam and welcome to another episode of this series. God says in part of Ayah 69 of Surah Ma'idah, those who have faith in Allah and the last day and act righteously, they will have no fear nor will they grieve. Dear listeners, this is the calm and tranquility that Allah has promised the faithful. This calm will keep them from any worry. Feeling secure is the root of all bounties. Many ayahs and statements of the Prophet and the Imams stress that security is originated in faith in God and that, on the contrary, feeling insecure and anxiety stem from unfaith. In continuation of Dua Iftitah, Imam Mahdi says, all praise belongs to Allah who makes the fearful and rescues the righteous. Faith in God and being certain that everything is in His power bring calm to the heart. This calm then prevails in society and makes it secure against worries and fears. Religion teaches us that the universal calm and security will materialize only during the rule of Imam Mahdi. May God expedite his reappearance. God promises the materialization of a secure society in Ayah 55 of Surah Nur. Allah has promised those of you who have faith and do righteous deeds that will surely make them successors in the earth, just as He made those who were before them successors, and will surely establish for them their religion which He has approved for them, and that He will surely change their state to security after their fear while they worship Me. The great exegete of the 20th century, Allama Sayyid Muhammad Hussein Tabatabai, writes in this ayah, this ayah is a beautiful promise to the faithful who do righteous deeds. They have been promised that soon a righteous society will be formed and God will give the authority of the earth to those who were the weak and oppressed. He will replace their fear with security in a way that they will be immune from the stratagem of the hypocrites and the unfaithful. They will worship God freely and will not associate anything with Him. God considers the establishment of such a righteous government under the condition of formation of the religion which He has chosen for the faithful, and that is the religion of the last prophet, namely Islam. Islam is not a personal and isolationist religion. It is a social religion whose ultimate aim is to establish justice and security for all. God, who is introduced by Islam, is not merely the God of individuals, but the God of society and universal civilization too. He has ordained and proclaimed his rules and regulations in a way that human beings would be ready for reaching the ideal society. He is the great God who is satisfied with greatness for his servants. In view of this, the servants are as great as their goals and concerns. He who thinks of reformation of all has a much greater and loftier goal than the one who is just concerned of his personal affairs. Of course, the reformation of individuals will take place through reformation of the society. This is the ultimate goal which God likes. The Imam of the age continues in Dua Iftitah, supplication of opening and starting, and brings up the downtrodden and bring down the arrogant. Here, Imam Mahdi praises Allah who take up who have been kept weak and abased while bringing down those who are haughty and arrogant. Today, human community has become insecure owing to the difference in ideologies and fanatic thoughts. These man-made creeds and schools have made planet Earth an insecure place for mankind. Although human communities have made progress, their progress and growth have not been balanced. In spite of scientific progresses, immorality and insecurity are on the rise. In an unbridled way, monopoly and arrogance have corrupted mankind. The history of Europe and the United States of America shamefully revealed that the current progresses have been shaped on boundless crimes and oppression. The wealth of the rich in Europe and the US has been achieved at the price of starvation, slavery, and massacre of hundreds of millions of humans in the four continents. Silence against injustice is pure injustice. History should be written again, not by those who have occupied and usurped the lands of weak nations, but by the weak nations themselves. We should not be content with the progress built on blood. The rule of Imam Mahdi will end this disgraceful history, and there won't be any trace of oppression, occupation, usurpation, and exploitation.
ربنا Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Al-Musavi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program Bridge. We are looking at supplication number 8 of Al-Sahifa Sajjadiyya for Al-Imam Ali ibn Hussein Zainul Abidin. Imam Sajjad salamullah alayhi says, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from mubahatul mukthirin, trying to compete with the rich. Now, we said and we've been saying that we don't need to compete with the rich. We need to be generous in this month and to give. So now we have three things. We have Imam Sajjad Salamullah Ali. We have generosity. And tonight and today, we have the birthday of one of the most generous people that walked this earth. And that is our second Imam, Imam Al-Hasan Al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. Our second Imam alayhi salam was known in generosity that there would be no one that could match his generosity. He gave everything that he had for the sake of Allah twice. Like he completely gave whatever he has in the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something that I have never ever heard anyone has done before. Even our other imams. Not to say that they are not generous. But no one went to the extent of Imam al-Hasan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. If that tells me anything, it tells me the benefits and the rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gave and put in charity. So 15th of the month of Ramadan is the birthday of our master, second master, Imam Al-Hasan Mujtaba alayhi salamullah. So we send our congratulations to the entire Muslim Ummah. Let us take a short break and then we will continue.
Rabbana.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
A bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge. So we were saying that it is the birthday of Imam Al-Hasan Al-Mujtaba alayhi salam, and he was known to be Karimu Ahlul Bayt, the most generous out of the household. Now, to make a person generous, for him to be generous, is that he needs to understand the benefits of generosity and the benefits of giving. Because if I don't understand how good something is, my motivation to it will be a lot less. Me trying to do it would be, you know, almost impossible. But the more I tell you about something and the benefits of it and how good it is, the more you'll be motivated to do. So when it comes to sadaqah and charity, we have so much ahadith. We have so much narration, right, that motivates me and you to give. Now, for Imam Al-Hasan Al-Mujtaba alayhi salamullah, to give everything that he had, and he comes absolutely clean. It says in the narration, he would even give his slippers. So I'm assuming the only thing that was left is his clothes that he was wearing. Besides that, everything was given away. It's because he can see the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give in return for what he gives. He thought that there is nothing more better and more valuable in the reward system than sadaqah. And actually it is. Because the Quran says, and this is very important and also very interesting, when a person dies, he will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring him back to life. So this is a process that me and you will go through. The person says, "Oh Allah, arju'uni, bring me back." Why? Why do you want to go? لِأَصَّدَّقَ, so I can give charity. وَأَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, and I be among the good doers. So sadaqah, a person comes back to life. He doesn't say, so I can fast, so I can pray, so I can do tasbih, so I can go to hajj. No, no, no. He says, bring me back. لِأَصَّدَّقَ, so I can give charity. So that person who died and he crossed over, he saw that there is nothing more rewarding in the system of reward than sadaqah. So Imam Hasan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam says,
I am the generous. So he gave everything. Me and you, let us use the opportunity of this holy month and this holy day and this the birth of our generous Imam and to give to others who are in need in the name of the Imam himself. Let us take a short break and then we will continue.
Listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge. So we were saying that sadaqah and giving charity, being generous in the month of Ramadan is the best time, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dedicated times for everything. So our prayers, they have designated time. Hajj has designated time. Fasting has designated time. But when it comes to charity, for example, it also has designated time. And the best designated time for sadaqah, even though throughout the day sadaqah has specific places to pay and throughout the year, but the best times designated for sadaqah, for charity, for generosity, is in fact in the month of Ramadan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Those who can prevent themselves from stinginess, those are the successful ones. So in this month, we look in our, we look into ourselves. We reevaluate ourselves. And we take what we have and we try to help other people. Obviously, I'm not saying give all your money and be like Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba if you want. By all means, the door is open. But at least give something back to those who are in need. Because what you have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want Allah to increase it and make it 100-folds, then give to the people that need. Give charity. Give sadaqah. Make generosity a trait that you live by, that people know you by. They will say, this guy is generous. Inshallah, we will leave it here and we will continue in other episodes. So until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Al-Musawi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را یا سجاد.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 15:20 to 16:20 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Iran Sat or Bat 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet.